As we talk about eternal things in the lesson this morning, there's a host of other things that you could look through the Bible and you could read about that the Bible talks about is eternal, like the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God will never pass away, Matthew 24:35. And so there's a host of other things that you can make a good study with and look at those things that the Bible says will never pass away. Then I told you this morning that this evening, Lord willing, we would look at some things that the Bible says are temporary. And there's a number of them. There's a number of things that we're not going to talk about this morning that the Bible says are temporary, that they pass away, that when they fulfilled the purpose that God gave for them, He was done with them. He was finished with them. And they were done away with. And there's a number of them. And again, that would be a good study that you could go through the Bible. You can take a concordance and look up the word eternal and find all the things that the Bible says are temporal or eternal, whichever one that you want to look at. The first one this morning I want us to think about is the ark. In Genesis chapter 6, you're very well familiar with that chapter and the things that we read in that chapter. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them. And the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented, some versions say it relented, the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know how the rest of that goes. That God told Noah to build an ark. And the command was given to him to come into the ark. He told him, verse 14, to make the ark. And he gave the dimensions of it, how he was to make it, and the fashion of it. And then in verse 19, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring in the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so God told him to prepare this ark for the saving of his household. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. You know, God didn't intend for that ark to last forever. He intended for it to fulfill its purpose, and then when it fulfilled its purpose, it was done away with. I don't know how many times, maybe you have too, that they have showed on TV, we have found Noah's ark. Have you seen that? We have found pieces of wood, and we have found it on this mountain or that mountain. We believe it to be the Mount of Ararat where the ark landed in. So forth and so on. Well, so what if they did? If they did. Only it's been proven that they have. But so what if they did? The ark fulfilled its purpose. And when it fulfilled its purpose, God was finished with it. And it was over with. And so the ark was temporary. And there's a host of other things in the Old Testament that you can read about that wasn't given to be eternal. The Ark of the Covenant was never given to be eternal. You find a lot of things on Sci-Fi and other channels. Oh, we have found the Ark of the Covenant. Or the temple. It was temporary. The temple was destroyed. Remember, the Lord prophesied about that in Matthew chapter 24, the destruction of Jerusalem. Not one stone is going to be left upon another, and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. It was temporary. It wasn't given to be an eternal temple or city. By the way, that reminds me. You know why sometimes they seems like they take a lot of pride in this, what they held the city of Rome to be? The eternal city. You seen that? Rome, the eternal city. It's not going to be eternal. But God was finished with those things. I think about the brazen serpent that because of the murmuring, the disobedience of the children of Israel, God sent serpents out among the people and it bit them. Remember in the book of Numbers? And God said, here's what you do. You take this brazier, this brass serpent, you put it on a pole and you erect it up, and it had come to pass that whosoever is bitten with the serpent, if they look upon that snake, they'll live. Well, that happened. That took care of the problem when the people followed God's prescription for it. But guess what? When it no longer had use, God was finished with it. And it no longer had any use for it. The people began to use that as an idol. And the Bible says they called it Nehushtan. They began to idolize it. But that shows us that there are things that are temporary. The ark and a host of other things. Well, the law of Moses was never intended to last forever. We don't have to say much about that because Garrett did a very good job in talking about some of those things this morning in the Bible class. But it was given to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 19. And not only Exodus 19, but you read Exodus 19, 20 and the several chapters after that, there was various laws that were given. Exodus 20 is where you find the Decalogue or the Ten Commandment law recorded. But God gave that specifically to the children of Israel. Now, did He make provision for others who would come and decide that they wanted to serve the God of heaven? Yeah, He made provision for that, for the stranger that would come and do that. But God separated the children of Israel from all the other nations, and He made a covenant with them and gave them His law for them to follow. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 9 through 14, the Bible talks about the fact that it was given to them. Again, Garrett used this reference this morning. Very good reference. And you ought to underscore it, at least write it in your Bible or put it in your mind so that you can recall it when you need it. But there's a couple of good points that are drawn out, and I think that he touched on one of them this morning. But in Nehemiah 9, 13 and 14, he says, Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Now, number one, that teaches us that God only made it with them. Didn't make it with you, didn't make it with me, didn't make it with the Gentiles, didn't make it with people before them, but He made it with them on Mount Sinai. Then in verse 14, it made us known unto them Thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, Thy servant. I've got written in the margin of my Bible just to remind me when I read this or teaching it to someone that you don't go back to the Genesis account of creation, read about the Sabbath day being instituted. God gave it to them on Mount Sinai and made known unto them the Sabbath. And so that's important for us to understand. But it was never given, the law of Moses, was never given to last forever. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 19 that the law was given because of transgressions till the seed will come. And in verse 16, the Lord, Christ, is identified as being the seed. But the Bible says in that chapter that the law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. But then when faith came, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Well, has faith come? Has the seed come? Sure it has. And so the law of Moses is done away with. In Hebrews 10, verses 7 and 9 that I gave you this morning, the fact that Jesus came to do the will of God, He says, He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. Why establish the second if the first had been given to be eternal or everlasting? Well, it wasn't given to be an everlasting covenant in the sense that it would never be done away with. So we serve God under a superior covenant today. A perfect, complete law of liberty. James chapter 1 and verse 25. Well, not only was the ark and various other things meant to be temporal, not only was the law of Moses meant to be temporal, but the apostles were temporary. You know that I've talked to individuals, and perhaps you have too, that believe completely that we have apostles today. Now, I understand why they believe that. I understand that in order to believe that you still have present-day gifts of the Spirit, that necessitates present-day apostles. If you believe the other references regarding that, as we're going to look at in just a moment. But the office of an apostle was not given to last forever. You understand, I understand that there were specific men who were selected by the Lord. 12 men initially, as stated in Matthew 10 verses 1 through 4. And Mark chapter 3, 14 through 19. And Luke 6, 13 through 16. Where it lists these men specifically that the Lord selected to be ambassadors and to do the things that He had selected them to do. And we know that they had qualifications that they had to meet according to Acts chapter 1, 15 and following. I don't meet those qualifications. I wasn't with the Lord from the beginning. All the time that He went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that He ascended, I wasn't with Him. But they were. The Apostle Paul was qualified to be an apostle because the Lord appeared to him as he went to Damascus in Acts the 9th chapter, and he went there for the intent to bind and to persecute Christians. But the Lord appeared to him, and he was called to be an apostle. These men preached the word, and it was accompanied, or confirmed rather, by signs and miracles that were performed. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, when the Lord was talking to the apostles, the Bible says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven, a cloud received Him out of their sight, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, not you, not me, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Why did they have miracles? Why did they have signs? Because it confirmed the word. They didn't have the revelation pinned down like we have it today, did they? Now, they had the Old Testament scriptures, and that's the scriptures, by the way, that is under consideration in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that Timothy had from a child and made him wise unto salvation. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but they didn't have the New Testament scriptures. And so they couldn't turn to a passage and say, now listen, this is what you need to believe. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 25. They couldn't do that. They could by the end of the first century. But in the meantime, these signs were given, these miracles were performed to confirm the word. They were given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Gifts were given. Remember that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you read about those 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about those in chapter 13, he talks about the duration of them. Chapter 14, he talks about the regulation or the use of them. Notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Begin with verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, begin as we think about temporal things. The apostles were temporal, but notice what else was temporal. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 beginning. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and at the time they only had partial knowledge. It had not yet been completely revealed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is done, or done in part, shall be done away. Now notice verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Folks, we don't have present day apostles. They died. No one qualifies to it. We don't have present day gifts of the Spirit that is under consideration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Given by the laying on of the apostles' hands. Acts chapter 8 verse 18 talks about that. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, gifts were given, he offered them money, saying, give me this ability that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive these gifts. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11 talks about that as well. But not only was the ark, the law of Moses, the apostles, and spiritual gifts temporary, there's something else the Bible talks about is temporary. And that is affliction. Did you know that? How many people have been afflicted? Now, there's various ways in which individuals have affliction. Persecution, trials, troubles, heartaches, difficult things that come upon us. Affliction. But that's only temporary. Notice 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction. What about that light affliction, Paul? Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You might have troubles. I might have troubles. We might have heartaches. We might have affliction. We might have persecution that comes as a result of serving God. But come what may, those things are only temporary. They're not going to last forever. They're not going to last forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, as Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. Notice what he says. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. That's what we're talking about, temporary afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. In Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Have you suffered any afflictions during your lifetime? Sometimes we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we get fed up along life's way. That's going to happen. But we've got to remind ourselves, it is only temporary, not eternal. It's only temporary. But there's another thing I want you to think about. And that's physical things. We've already talked about that as we talked about eternal things this morning. But in 2 Corinthians 4:18, he says the things which are seen are temporary. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, he talks about the fact that the Lord is going to return. And notice what he says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Gone. Perish. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, verse 11. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Physical things are going to pass away. I mentioned to you a moment ago, Matthew 24:35, and it's stated in Mark 13:31, that heaven and earth is going to pass away. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 makes that point as well. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth the garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. that helps remind us to not put too much stock in physical things and the things of the world. But there's another thing that the Bible talks about that is temporary. This was found in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You know exactly what Hebrews chapter 11 is talking about. This great hall of faith chapter that we have. It talks about Moses as one of these examples. In Hebrews 11, 23 through 26, he says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now listen, choosing rather to suffer affliction. We just talked about affliction a moment ago. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God." Now notice this last part. "Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." I want to suggest to you that the Bible says that the pleasures of sin is but for a season. And there's a lot of things that we might find gratitude in. There's a lot of things that we may say that appeals to me. And I suggest to you, I think I'm safe in saying that there's not a person who has come to of age in this building tonight that does not suffer with that in that regard from time to time, or if daily. That there are things that feel good to us, there are things that appeal to us, to the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, that we may very well like. But we've got to understand that those pleasures are for a season. Heaven is for eternity. Hell is for eternity. But the things that we experience in this life that might bring us pleasure and happiness. And by the way, just because we're happy doesn't mean that we're right. Sometimes individuals say, "Well, doesn't God just want me to be happy?" No. God doesn't just want you to be happy. God wants you to be right and live a righteous life and go to heaven when life is over. It's not about being happy all the time. Right? "Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Sin is not of the Father. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all the things of the world, not of the Father. Lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh is worldly, it's not of the Father." And God is not behind the temptation. And we can't blame God. We can't say, "Lord, it's your fault. God, it's your fault. Why do you put this temptation on me?" The Lord doesn't tempt people. James chapter 1, if you want to know where the Bible says, James 1:13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, and then lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." It's not God's fault. Yes, there are things that tempt Donnie Oliver. Yes, there are things that appeal to me. Yes, there are things that look good to me. Yes, there are things that make me, myself, and I feel good, but those things are for a season. Now, the struggle may be hard from time to time. And we may fall from time to time. We may give in from time to time. But when we do, we need to repent of that. We need to confess that to God. Acknowledge that to God. And strive to do better. Strive to do better. But not only that. The Bible teaches, as we mentioned this morning, that this body is temporary. Don't have to spend much time on that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 talks about that. Ecclesiastes 12, 7 that we mentioned this morning. And other verses. When the book of Genesis, God had put man into the garden that he had created and given the instructions of the things that he was to do. And man sinned, rebelled against God. Did exactly what God had said not to do. And the Bible says as a result of that, verse 19 of Genesis 3, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so we understand that this body is temporal, but that we have that building of God we talked about this morning, eternal with God if we'll obey Him and live faithful to Him. And then not only that, but then lastly, this earth life is temporal. And I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you that you're going to die. In fact, I'm convinced I don't have to tell anyone that. Because a wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, that the living know that they shall die. You already know that. But I have to remind people about that because sometimes we forget about that. We live our lives as though we're going to live forever. We're not going to. We're as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, James 4:14. In Hebrews chapter 90, verses 10, 9 and 10, the Bible talks about the brevity of life. That though man live for fourscore, man's days 80, and if by strength they be 80, yet are they soon cut off and we fly away. We spend our years as a tale that is told, the psalmist recorded. So teach us to number our years that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He stated in that passage. Job 14:1, man that is born is of few days and full of trouble. Here today and gone tomorrow, it seems. And that could be a literal statement. Here today and gone tomorrow. Because I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow or not. You don't either. But if you be in our audience tonight and you never obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not do that? We've heard a lesson, if you were here this morning, on eternal things. You know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You know that you cannot go to heaven except you obey the gospel of Christ, and that you do that by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mark 16:16, repent of your sins, Acts 17:30, and confessing your faith as the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, and being baptized for the remission of your sins to wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. Why not do that tonight? There's no reason that you could give, maybe only known unto you and God, but no reason that you could come up with that would be good enough, because your soul is at stake, and God wants you to go to heaven, and we do too, and we hope that you do. But maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away and turned your back on the Lord. You're asked Peter described by inspiration is that it would happen to them according to the true proverb that the dog is turned to its own vomit again, or the sow that was washed or wallowing in the mire. Maybe you turn back to the world of filth. You need to be cleaned up, forgiven of the things that you have done. God is faithful and just to do that, 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you that God will restore you to faithfulness. Why not come forward right now?